Mr. Chairman?
Senator Dankwood?
I'd like to, if I may, at this time, offer for the committee, as I've been promising to do for some time, a committee substitute to Senate Bill number 212 relating to the Alaska Railroad, and if I could, I'm not prepared today to discuss it or anything, but for the purpose of those who would like to have a week or two to look at it, I thought I'd bring it up and offer it today as a committee substitute. And if adopted, we could just leave it on the table until you're ready to take it up in committee.
Now, this is...
I move that we adopt it as a committee substitute.
This is the work of the subcommittee?
This is the work of Senator Petula's subcommittee, and a great number of people that worked on this bill.
Is there an objection from the committee to accept this as a committee substitute?
Ask him.
No objection, so ordered.
That's all, thank you.
Next order of business. We had some inquiries relative to state assistance in the area of Seward. And possibly at this time, Mr. Jones, you're representing Alaska Railroad. Do you have any information you'd like to give us relative to change of position or...
We basically have requested support the dredging project to accommodate 50,000 deadweight ton vessels for the export.
You can come and sit down then.
Yeah, come sit down.
Senator, while he's sitting down, I would apologize. Sure, before long I'll have to leave to conduct the joint session. It's just one of those things. We've got so many things going on at the same time.
Mr. Jones, if we could just hold you for a minute. Senator Petula, I know that you have a vital interest in this area, and I just wondered if you'd like to preface any of your remarks or any of the remarks or bring to the attention of the committee any problems or considerations you might have.
Well, I appreciate that, Mr. Chairman. It's interesting that the day that we finally introduced the railroad legislation, Mr. Jones, as general manager of the railroad, is here. I think it's a rather happy circumstance rather than unhappy one, that we have several opportunities at the best port city, the best port in the north, and I think that that's possibly the reason we're here. There's more than one problem to be resolved there over the next few years, and perhaps even this summer. But I don't think it's an unhappy circumstance at all. It's just that there's more than one opportunity, and there's always a limited amount of funding to provide for the opportunities. And that's the reason for this format today. I think it's where the location's going to be today and where it should be tomorrow for the export facilities. Or Seward, how it fits into their needs and plans for both the short and the long run. We do have conflicting interests, of course, to some extent, in that we have essentially private property owned by the railroad there. And I guess this is more informational than anything else, Senator.
It's my intent to conduct this hearing as an information gathering hearing rather than as a inquisition, questioning anything in that matter. We'd just like to hear from all of the parties concerned. We have of course, the railroad is interested, Sunny Hill is interested. I can't remember the name of Forbes.
What is Wilbur?
Yeah. But they are interested, and of course, the one that has the most interest, I suppose, particularly, would be the city of Seward, or the borough officials. So with that, if there's no other questions from the committee, Mr. Jones, would you identify yourself and just give a rough, limited overview of what your proposal is or what your situation is as it pertains to Seward at this time?
Yes, sir. We have leased our property adjacent to the Seward dock to Sunny Hill, Alaska, for the purpose of unloading, stockpiling, and transloading usability coal import-export to the Republic of Korea. The efforts of the project are outstanding. Sunil has just returned this morning from Seoul. The overall project, as I reviewed about 3 weeks ago to this committee, our efforts in suggesting funding for the dredging to accommodate 50,000 deadweight ton vessels was a response to Sunil Alaska in their efforts to keep the price of coal at a minimum, realizing that the capital outlay for the building of the facility would be considerable. And we are, Alaska is new in getting into the coal market, and anything that we can do to hold the price of coal down, establishing Alaska in the coal market, seems to be the proper thing to do. Additionally, the dredging would also accommodate 50,000 deadweight ton vessels for the export of grain. As you know, we have leased adjacent property to the Sunil area for the construction of grain elevators and for export of grain. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I do have one question. Senator, it's my understanding that there was a request, and there was, from the railroad, which may become a state entity in time, so that it was, didn't seem like it was an unusual request, perhaps because of that fact, to assist in dredging a given area out there in off the dock. But do you still have that request, and do you, are you still requesting the state support for that dredging? That's the only question I have.
We naturally would like to see the state participate from the project's point of view, but if it creates a problem, why, we would withdraw that request.
Senator
Dacre.
I have a couple of questions I wanted to ask you, Frank, and I can't think just how to word them. Now, we're not talking about 4th of July.
No, sir.
Yeah.
Seward site.
Seward site. All right. I guess some questions come to mind. If what is this going to mean to the railroad? How does Alaska going to benefit from doing this? I don't understand that. I'd like to see how you perceive there's no tax right now on coal to amount to anything. It's our resource. It's going to be hauled off. How do you see, maybe I need a little encouragement, how does Alaska benefit from this?
The most tremendous opportunity that Alaska has had. We don't know the total limit that export coal can reach. We have the capability of being so wealthy in coal resources. Estimates are in the area of 5 trillion tons of coal. There is only one coal mine operating in Alaska presently, and that's the Yosemite coal mine. The commitments that President Chun of the Republic of Korea advised me, President of Korea Electric Power, they are converting 4 utility plants, oil-burning utility plants, to the use of subbituminous coal, Alaska coal. 2 plants are to be completed by 1984 and 2 more by 1986. The consumption of those 4 utility plants is 2.1 million tons of coal. The other contracts that Sunil has been working on appears to be in the area of 2.5 million tons of coal by 1986. To the railroad, that means $30 million in revenue. To the Alaska economy, it means that I will hire additional train and engine people, track people, car repair people. The port facility at Seward will hire a considerable number of people, which will aid the economic growth of the city of Seward. Already we're discussing the potential of backhauls, which again would have a wonderful economic improvement. Yes, it's a great beginning, and the facility is designed for moderate shipments. We think that somewhere in the area of 3 to 4 million tons a year, and that's just great. Our closeness to Korea, which is now the market, we're considerably closer than Long Beach, which is one of the areas that transports and substitutes coal. Another port is being developed in the Portland area that can transport subbituminous coal. We have the ability right now of being new into the market, establishing ourselves, and helping the Alaska economy.
What's wrong with my vision that if we open up coal, we don't get much revenue off of it? From the public doesn't get much, and there'll be nothing but black coal dust all over Seward and everywhere else. Is that a bad vision?
Yes, sir.
You don't see the coal dust, and I've seen it in the South and other places, you know, where places it just seemed like the whole community and the environment was really damaged to some degree by hauling coal.
That's right. I might say that we normally transport, have been transporting coal since the railroad was established in 1923. We've been running unit coal trains into Fairbanks for 30 years. Last year we transported over 700,000 tons of coal to Fairbanks. And I would ask Senator Gillen, do you see coal dust in Fairbanks along the right of way?
I don't think he's ever been to Fairbanks.
It's been a while. I wasn't looking.
Our last trip.
These are things, frankly, people have told me. They says, you know, what's going to happen is when the wind's blowing right, you're going to have nothing but black coal dust all over Anchorage and this and that, and you're not going to get anything. And I'm just asking to bring these things up because these questions will be asked.
Sunil employed an Alaskan environmental firm last September, and I believe they have already completed two of their studies. We won't know until the studies are complete and what all the requirements will be, but I can tell you from my conversation with Sunil Alaska, they are extremely interested in doing this project the real right way. It's going to be a model project. And as the one who is responsible for the Alaska Railroad property, I can assure you that I will not have anything constructed on Alaska Railroad property that won't meet all the environmental regulations and requirements. Part of our contract is drawn up in that manner, which I'd be glad to show you. But they're looking at many things. There's a new product on the market where you stockpile coal, you can spray it, and it adheses any dust to it. There's several ways that, you know, things can be done. And they're presently in the final stages of our detailed design, which is taken from the conceptual design. Once that's completed, then the environmentalists will take over from there and make their recommendations. It needs to be a model because this will be the first of Alaska. And I'm sure that once the market is open for Alaska coal, that other areas will follow. So we do need it to be a model, and I'm quite sure that it will.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. Everything seems to be moving along all right.
Yes, sir.
So far.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. We have several representatives from Sunil. Is there anybody from Sunil who would like to give testimony?
Why don't you both sit here tonight?
Yes.
I can take it.
I'm Kim, president of Sun Hill Company.
What's another Kim and executive vice president of Sun Hill?
There has been some question as to your wishes or your desires or your project, and could you just give us a brief overview of what your intentions are as far as what your estimate your tonnage is going to be and what your contractual arrangements are?
We brought the first 25,000 metric tons coal to Korea the 31st of December 1980. And the test has been made in Korea. It was pretty successful. And there was some talk amongst Japanese company that because the test has been done in winter, so in summertime, there might be some spontaneous combustion and so forth. So we tried actually second test in summertime, but we didn't do that. Just we kept certain coal in Korea as it is. And also we kept the Colorado coal, same time we brought in Korea, same amount in the port areas. And the spontaneous combustion was awkward in Colorado coal, not Alaskan coal. So the finally GECKO approved, there will be no test required. So this coal can be imported as it is. Then second step we did is the where we put the coal facility. And first time we decided to anchor it, but there was no land enough, and the land is not strong enough. We had to go to Seward. And also there was certain request from Senator Ted Stevenson and other leading politicians that the Seward need many jobs. The anchorage is enough work, so it's better to go to the Seward. So we made a decision to go to Seward. Also this decision made us because of this shorter distance and no ice problems. And if we do it in Anchorage, we have to do it, you know, break the low tide and high tide. We lose 2-3 days. So this is economically sound. So we decided to pursue it. And then we decided how to put the facilities. And then we made a basic design by a famous Japanese company, Ubi. And it took about months. And the translation took another 2 months. And then we brought this basic design, and we gave several leading construction companies in America. And the figure turned out between $19 million to $25 million, which doesn't allow us to compete in the world coal market if we put that high money for these loading and unloading facilities. So we started again and again in Korea and all over. Finally, we come to conclusion that we can put $5 to $6 million, maximum maybe $8 million, that we can put the facilities, which will compete the other coals in Australia or Lower 48 or Canada coal even. That's why now we are final stage with the fairly reputable company, Alaskan company, to make a joint venture. And we'll put the facilities within maybe end of October, and we try to ship within this year or early next year. This is now current status.
When you say facilities, that means the coal loading,
coal loading and unloading facilities.
Yes. You have the design and it's within your own organization.
Yes, this will be the joint venture, but. Still, we have not signed the contract, so we don't want to disclose who the partners are, but this very reputable and good Alaska company.
It's really not within my purview to ask you who your partners are. I suppose that will come out whatever at such time as you wish to disclose it. That's your business. But you do have the facility and the capability of providing your own coal loading facility.
Yes, sir.
Do you have anything to say?
Senator Dankler, do you have any?
Not a thing, thank you.
Senator Sackett?
Nothing.
Thank you very much. Mr. Campbell? City of Seward?
Yes, sir.
Keith Campbell, I'm on the City Council of City of Seward. It gives me pleasure to come before this meeting to explain a little bit in detail the position of the City of Seward. Historically, 6 years ago, the residents of the City of Seward quite frankly got tired of starving to death. A new council was elected, new administration was hired, and a very honest assessment of the capabilities and liabilities of the City of Seward was undertaken. From those particular discussions and planning sessions, it was decided that we needed to provide opportunities for people to work to iron out the 13% to 17% summer or winter unemployment. How best to do this became evident after the 1973 oil embargo and the resulting upward fuel consumption curves of sending vessels, shipping vessels, fishing vessels to the Port of Seattle for routine maintenance. We then started to look at the Marine Industrial Center repair complex, shipbuilding complex, if you will. And as you're well aware, as longtime members of the Senate, we have been here to the well many times in trying to bring this particular marine-oriented service to the state of Alaska, rather than sending and exporting that particular service south. We, to date, are halfway home. With adequate funding this year, we can be lifting ships out and servicing them roughly 12 to 15 months from now. The community has never stopped planning ahead after these initial successful efforts. We became involved with Wilbader Fry, which is a manufacturer of environmental protection services for the shipbuilding industry, and in fact all industry. They came to Seward trying to sell their equipment that sandblasts and refinishes ship bottoms in an environmentally safe manner. From that particular exposure, their subsidiary, Torkelson Kellogg, was in contact, and I think Mr. Jones, if my memory serves me right, brought them to Seward's attention many months ago. We then started talking coal export because of that's the glamour market today, it seemed like. And we in turn now have leased them 100 acres in the 4th of July area, not connected to the 4th of July Marine Industrial Park at all.
Saved by the bell.
Saved by the bell.
Sorry for the interruption.
It's all right. The philosophy of the City of Seward has not changed. The number one objective we've never deviated from, and that is the completion of the 4th of July Marine Industrial Center. We've had many inducements the last 2 or 3 years, particularly when all the other communities in the state have been building hockey rinks and cultural centers and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have forthrightly stayed on target, I think, ahead of budget, on time, things of this nature, to accomplish that goal. When we feel philosophically in the city government that when we have those jobs and that tax base paying for in the community, that we'll be able to afford the other niceties. But until then, we're not going to deviate from this particular thing. I'd like to compliment Frank Jones right here. He has been a breath of fresh air in the railroad. It's a merchandising thing now. He's looking for opportunities to make it well. It's never been well. Our relationship with Frank has been very good. Recognizing, of course, that he's playing in a federal ball game completely outside our purview, and we don't all have the same sources of information. Getting back to the Torkelson Kellogg concept, we've had three players to date in the coal game in Seward. The Montana Development Corporation, Mr. DeBasio, Torkelson Kellogg, and Sunil. The city of Seward woos them all. The only horns of the dilemma we are on at this point in time is having funds siphoned away that we need to complete the 4th of July project. As you know, the government structure here in the state of Alaska, everything seems to get a community name on it, even though the impact might be statewide. And those kinds of things are divvied up out of some pot of money. And this is our only caution in this, is that we need to see this 4th of July industrial complex, the shipbuilding repair facility, complete before funds go somewhere else. We are wooing and planning for the expansion of that particular area. At this point in time, we are talking to cold storage people, we're talking to all kinds of other lessees over there, trying to magnify and use the public dollar that has gone into that particular facility. We certainly are not against the coal project in any way. We will do anything possible to enhance that. Except we do have competing companies at this point in time. One of them dreaming on world scale and world scale economics, if you will. The 3 to 4, 5, 6, 8 million ton capacity, which really makes the Alaska coal economic, if we understand the economics. And I think that the city on its own has done a fair amount of research trying to protect the city's interest in our lease agreements, et cetera, et cetera. But the economies of scale dictate, as they say, the deep draft vessels. We are, in our particular plan, they're talking 50,000 ton vessels. We're talking upwards of 250,000 ton vessels in our schemes. We're talking from 5 to 12 million ton total capacity. That's the reason for the 100 acres. We're thinking, we're going to have a railroad spur. We're thinking and trying to come up with concrete plans on how that might come about expeditiously. Whether the city actually builds it, bonds for a revenue bond or whatever. These are the kinds of things we're trying to do from a city standpoint, and I'd like to impress upon you that we are in no way trying to impede. This is our own selfish to see something go in coal. We, quite frankly, would like to be the Valdez of the coal industry in the state of Alaska, and we think that will come about.
So is it my understanding, Mr. Campbell, that you said that the city of Seward leased to Sunil a portion of...
No, we leased to Torkelson Kellogg for a 12 million ton, upwards of 12 million ton facility across the bay.
And that's across the bay?
Yes, there's 120 acres of private land between the Marine Industrial Park and the land leased to Torkelson Kellogg.
Now, the land that Sunil is that railroad land?
Yes.
You can just respond.
Yes, sir, it is.
That's railroad land now.
Yes, sir.
All right.
I'd be glad to show you this aerial photograph.
All right. I'm just wondering if you need another question.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chairman.
On the booklet that you just handed to us, on page 3, I think probably, or sections read, probably has as good a layout for the Department of Plan Area. The property that's immediately north, north being to the left side of the, is privately owned in there, a good deal of it, 128, is that true?
The private land lies primarily right there. And the 100 acres of leased land is, Torkelson Kellogg is here. And the water here within 100 feet of shore is 150 feet deep at the present time.
So the artist's rendition in 5 really distorts it?
Compresses it, yes.
Okay, compresses it.
Right. For illustration purposes only.
Right, okay.
Well, just a question on the railroad. Basically, you plan the railroad to go to July, 4th of July?
Yes, sir.
And how much of this can take place before that happens?
That...
Is the railroad...
Well, I hesitate to speak for Torkelson Kellogg, but their comments to us was that they could use initially loading, self-unloading barges and load ships almost immediately, and then develop as you went along, as you get the planning done, the right-of-way done in a couple of years, that would take probably permitting, et cetera, along
the... Is that about 7 miles?
Well, it'd be 7 or 8 load miles, probably about 3 miles of railroad, depending where you came off the railroad and went around the bay. When we built the road up a little higher than the beach, we did acquire enough right-of-way to plan for a railroad or a conveyor system or a slurry pipeline, this sort of thing. That right-of-way is in place, but around the shoreline might be the logical place to build a railroad. I'm not a railroader. That Frank would have to answer those, or his engineers would have to answer that.
My question was, I didn't know whether
yes.
you could...
We had a land for it,
was essential to this building, this thing.
Well, it would certainly make the economies more viable. But in the short term, the first million or so tons per year could be handled, as I understand, by a barging situation.
How far is the existing railroad from 4th of July? 20 miles?
Oh, no. About
here's the railroad right here.
So 4 miles, I would guess, depending where you came out. So 3 or 4 miles.
Where are we?
Just a minute. How far would it get to get over there from the existing railroad?
If you were to come to the existing railroad, this is approximately 5 miles by road over here.
Right.
And that crosses the railroad right there.
Right.
3 miles.
Mr. Jones?
May I, sir, Chairman, just to clarify. There are two proposals for rail access to the 4th of July Industrial Park. One, as Keith has mentioned, is along the shoreline, which is approximately 5 miles long. The other is 7 miles long, which comes up over the mountain. The reason for that being is that we must go back further to reduce the percent of grade going uphill.
Assembly Dangler. Where are we in development of this right now? I mean, you've been on this for 4th of July period. We've been putting money into this.
Yes. The industrial center, the shipbuilding servicing center, is about half complete. The ship lift is ordered. The dredge is being assembled to date. And
paid for, isn't it?
The contracts are let. We now need the money to assemble the ship lift and put the cap on. This ship lift is good size. It will take, it's roughly a football field in size. And so it's a massive piece of equipment. And those are the funds that we're in dire need of at this point in time. Once that happens, this facility will start earning and producing jobs and service for the
What people. Is that total? Just so I'll know.
Y'all have a rough figure of what
Well, I think it's right here. The next 30 million, is it? 20, 29. Somewhat, 29 total. I don't have the breakdown under that. I can get it for you.
No, we'll talk about it later. Fine. Going to find it.
Did you have something else with my stream?
Keeping you on.
Senator Sacker?
No.
Senator Nankers?
Very special.
It's my understanding that City of Seward welcomes any additions when they aren't interested in who's fighting it out. All they're interested in is putting together your 4th of July crick.
That's our number one priority at this point in time. We will enhance, however possible, any other players in the ball game, but we can't, at this point in time, particularly in this critical year, have any subtractions from our next budget. I guess that's the simplest way to say it. And if they do detract from it, as they tend to do, just the money's out of this pot going into an area, you're well aware of what happens. So that's our only concern.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Campbell.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Is there anybody here, anybody else who wishes to give testimony? Any public statements? Well, let me see if I can condense this and see if I've got the picture straight. Alaska has a coal resource. Federal government has a railroad. Sunil has some vessels. Seward has a marine park across the canal. We are going to sell our resource, or Usabelli is selling the resource. Sunil is going to provide their own method of moving the coal from Alaska to wherever they want to put it. The railroad is naturally interested in seeing revenues come to them. We essentially, at this particular point, we meaning the state of Alaska, are anticipating those revenues coming to the state when and if we take over the railroad. Seward doesn't care as long as they leave them alone. Is there any disagreement among any of the participants? Is that about the same picture? Is that about the picture that has been expressed here today?
Senator, we would like to stress only one point.
Yes, sir.
That it is time is main factor for us. If we miss the time of the 1984 83 export Alaskan coal to Korea, there's many others who are doing now the same things in Portland or the other ports, an Australian and Canadian. They all are doing this. So also the Korean government and the Korean electrical company, they are waiting for your coal, and they decided to convert their boilers to oil to the coals. And they tried to put $400 million to convert four power plant in order to use Alaskan coal. So if we cannot deliver 1984, then we rather lose this project to some other countries. This I'd like to draw you special attention, Mr. Chairman. And second thing is the what we think is the tonnage of the ships, 250,000 ton ship is fine size, but there in Korea, there's many ports cannot receive even 100,000 ton ships. The ships is not only leaving ships, but the receiving port is more important. So our ships will be just enough, big enough to go to berth in Korea. That's why we need a 50,000 townships. This must match together. The second, another argument, I think. And third thing is the once we bring the ships, 50,000 townships, the port of Seward, we are going to bring quite a big amount of backhaul. Backhaul means everything, the pipes, steel, or commodities, shoes, clothes, everything. I think we can provide a lot cheaper, maybe half price. Now you are paying for it, we're bringing it to the Seward port. And automatically many people will come down and buy it. We have to open more restaurants, more hotels. I think the effect will be bigger and bigger for the city of the Seward. And also, economically, now to export use very coal, if you put tremendous money, it will not pay back. I mean, the interest and all this, it's just too much investment. That's why we studied very, very carefully, and it is $5 to $6 million. It's about good price, tonnage prices, because current market in Korea is 2.2 million tons only. So if there's larger market in Japan, Taiwan, and Korea, the power plant and so forth, when you talk about 10 million tons, I think 4th of July is next step, we can move to 4th of July. But for the time being, you know, we don't think we can need 100,000 ton vessels or 250,000 ton vessels. But still, I think the Korea can do a lot of things in the city of Seward. We can, I think, really cooperate together. And we put too much money. We thought about also rent reclaimed and everything and put about $20 million. But this, in that case, we cannot compete any other countries. Because the Alaskan port have a very low BTU.
I don't quite understand it. We are going to, you're content with where you are, right? You're content with where you are, and you're content with the way that you're going to operate. Seward doesn't care as long as you leave them alone. The railroad says that they'll haul the coal to you with whatever the tariffs are. To my knowledge, at this particular point, if you don't consider environmental concerns, state of Alaska has no interest, as long as you conduct your business lawfully and legally as to the state's statutes. So what we're saying is that apparently you're okay, just go on and do your business.
Yes, sir. Mr. Jones?
Yes, sir. I only want to clarify one point. That is that there is presently only one operating coal mine in Alaska. Joe Uscelli has told us that he intends to max out at 4 million tons annually, which means that we have today a real project for the Port of Seward on the Alaska River Dock. As new mines develop and the markets improve through this initial venture, I'm sure that new mines will open up, which will afford the Seward's 4th of July Industrial Park the opportunity of expanding to a super port.
Well, if I get it right, Seward says, hey, you know, you come and talk to us with anything you got, but we're still, our number one priority is the 4th of July. Is that correct, Mr. Campbell? And you would welcome Sunil if there was some way you could come in there, that's fine, but I see. Senator?
I don't know who can answer this question. Maybe, I think, Frank, you may have done some work in this area, but the governor had recommended, or their committee had recently recommended, an increase in the severance tax on coal. And I don't know whether that's before the legislature now or not in the form of a bill. If anyone's put that in, I know it was just a little recommendation. I'd like to know, number one, if I can't remember now, what it seemed like to me it was 5 cents or something. I'd like to know what it is now and what would be the result of a deal like this if we followed the governor's. Do you have any information or projection on that?
Commissioner Katz, as long ago as Ben Hammond has said, to the best of my knowledge, I don't like to quote someone else, but I think it is his position as new into the marketplace, we need first to get into the market, after which then there would be time for consideration for taxes and extracts. It seems reasonable to me to become first in the market. It's a very competitive market. And we don't have bituminous or anthracite coal going to the market. We have a sub-bituminous, which is basically 8,000 BTU. It's a lower grade coal. And it's a super plus for Alaska.
And this can...
Who did?
Mark.
Oh, Mark. Okay, well, let me follow this, Mr. Chairman, and then maybe Mark Whitlow has the answer.
Yes, sir.
But there is also comes with that statement, Mr. Jones, a question of at least I think the legislature of the state of Alaska has been accused in the past of letting a guy get his foot in the door and then raising the taxes. You're saying go ahead and don't pretend there's not going to be any taxes and let everybody invest their money and get out there. And then we'll come in and raise the severance tax. Now, you're not saying we'll do that, but I mean, that would be, we would be presumed to be bad guys. I know if I were making that kind of an investment and there was any intent to raise any taxes on that stuff, I'd like to have some safeguards and know it up front before I laid my money out. And I may have misunderstood your approach to it, but.
Well, sir, we have the opportunity of improving the economy of Alaska for export coal. I think it's been proven in the lower 48 that some of the states who have applied a very high surface tax have basically shut down the coal mining in that state. I think Montana is.
Montana's at 30% now.
Which I think it's our, as a citizen of Alaska, I'm very interested in seeing the economics develop in Alaska. I think this is one way to progress towards it.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
May I?
Sure.
May I ask you, Mark Willow, he's been pretty close to this and works for, he's in Commissioner Katz's office,
right.
And maybe he'd like to comment. Do you have any comment on that, Mark?
Sure. Can I just speak?
Sure.
The governor's task force, the governor ultimately recommended not to introduce a severance tax into the legislature for the reasons that Mr. Jones described. The working group last August did recommend a severance tax, and that decision was overturned by the governor. State leases is going to be for the long run, and they've accepted that as, I guess, a sort of compromise in the interest of stability.
You're saying that instead of a severance tax, you're going for royalty, a certain amount of royalty.
Right, royalty only applies to state leases, and there's coal on federal Native corporation lands that would be affected by severance tax also, but not by royalty.
I speak with a great deal of ignorance about the price of coal around the world, but I know there's a lot of it and everybody's looking at it, and I know the market is very competitive. And I understand that a 5% severance tax or something right now very likely could sour a deal or wouldn't be able to, it just wouldn't work. And or 1 cent or 2 cent, I don't know where it is. Which brings me back to the original question that I had one time. Is at what point is it not worth Alaska to haul it off? If there's nothing to be gained. So apparently your position is that while we may not make any money off the resource itself, the side effects and the economic development would be our way of
the employment alone, sir.
That part, yeah.
It is very, very important.
I think we have to continue to remember that the resources belongs to a private individual, is the one that we're talking about.
That's true.
And that I was going along your line with you when I was thinking about the state lands, et cetera.
Well, we'll eventually be talking about
that. Yeah, that's down the road.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
If I might make one comment.
Mr. Holmes.
There's a talk about no tax. There is a mining license tax on this coal. It's being paid at up to 7% if you make over a certain profit. Net profit under mine. And that is the same thing as a severance tax. And everybody ignores the fact that this has been on the books for years. Usavelli's paying it, besides his corporate income tax. So the thing that there is no tax on the coal at the present time is not true.
Are there any other questions from the committee? Well, I would just say in closing, Seward, continue on your way, but don't be too reluctant of Maiden. Sunil, we welcome you, and but we'll be watching. And just the same, Frank, we're going to steal your railroad.